Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to another episode of Cousins for Christ, where we're just three cousins who like to get together and talk about Christ. Joined once again, cousins Jeremy.
Hola.
Cousin Chris.
Hello. How are y'all doing today?
We're doing good.
Good.
I was going to tell you, I'm just going to do this one in Spanish, so don't expect to hear much from me because I don't speak it.
See, you just be very agreeable.
See.
Burp. No. See. Well, what we got today?
I thought we would, today we're going to talk about the parable of the bridegroom. In some Bibles, it's the parable of the ten virgins. Our text today is coming from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. these parables always have a lot to, there's a lot you can extract from these. A lot of things that you can take away and apply. So, today's is no different.
Pretty simple.
In the Bible, you know, and he said Jesus taught in parables because it's easy for people to understand. It's not confusing. And again, there's always a lot of good lessons. Thought we'd just go down through the verses, guys. What do you say?
Well, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's read it. Starting Matthew 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." That's the parable.
It's a good parable.
Who is the bridegroom here? Who's that referring to?
Jesus.
Chris?
Jesus. Just
once again.
Off the riff right there. Jesus. Yep.
Bam.
See?
I mean, in all honesty, he was kind of an easy target to hit.
Yeah, thank you. I'm done for the day. Y'all got this.
And who are the, when he's talking about the ten virgins, Who's that referring to, Jeremy?
His followers.
Yeah. Those of us who claim to be Christians. Yeah.
You don't think this encapsulates everyone? All people?
Yeah,
on
I
Earth?
Think it
well,
can.
Well, the problem is that if you're not a Christian, you're not going.
You're not even
going to
be.
You're not even going to be invited to the party. You're already automatically been taken off the guest list.
So what's the danger of not being prepared for the bridegroom when he comes?
It's not making it in.
You're supposed to say that in Spanish.
Oh, sorry. I forgot all about that.
My bad. I mean, it's a separation from God. There is a final point to where you can't change anymore. It's either, you know, if he makes it here in our lifetime, or if we pass away from this lifetime, there is that time where you're cut off and you can't prepare yourself, can't be ready.
So those virgins who took extra oil. What's a scenario there? Like, as Christians, does that mean that refers to Christians who we're looking out, we're trying to stay ready at all times because we don't know when the bridegroom, we don't know when Jesus Christ is going to return. What is that verse, Chris, I asked you to read?
Philippians 2. Let's see here. Philippians 2:12. It says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling."
So that's a big deal. We have to stay ready as Christians. We have to stay prepared. Would you say that the virgins who didn't take extra oil, were they complacent in their approach to this wedding party?
I will say, yeah. I will say, it kind of reminds me of somebody. We all met that person, and I'm not throwing any harsh judgments out, but it's fact. That person's like, "Oh, I'm a Christian, but God knows I ain't perfect."
Yeah.
They know he's still working on me. Here probably is God's not going to work on you. You got to work on yourself.
He made me this way.
I've heard this thing, perfectly imperfect.
Yeah.
I keep hearing this thing, and I'm like, they use it as like a...
A get-out-jail-free card. Yeah,
or they're proud of it. Like, I know we all have flaws.
Or you hear, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious.
Yeah.
We all screw up. Let me say that. But to screw up on purpose over and over again, knowing what you... If it's Friday and you're planning on, like, I'm going out and just get hammered off my mind tonight, that's probably not a screw-up. That's a planned event.
What you do know? You... What's that verse you always throw? Romans 3:23.
Yeah, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, don't we?
Yes, we do. But you're
we
right.
Can't purposely do that. So, Chris, you've got the hot hand today. What are some things that we can do as Christians to be vigilant, to be prepared for contingencies, to try to stay ready?
Well, I mean, there is the reference of putting on the armor of God.
Yeah.
That is what this kind of...
So what you're saying, when you're putting on armor... You know you're going into a battle, right?
Yeah, every day.
So if you fail to prepare, you're preparing to fail, right?
Correct. That is a very good way to put it.
So
it's very Boy Scout.
If you go into, you know, every day you wake up and go out into the world, if you're not prepared for that, what's going to happen, Jeremy?
You're going to be like Peter when he was looking around at the waves and the wind and not focusing on Jesus, and you're going to start sinking.
But the question, Jeremy, what are some things we can do to be ready?
Well, you can focus on Jesus on all things, you know, constantly prayer, as Paul said, constantly
praying. You think being baptized, that's part of being ready.
That's being ready.
You think...
focusing, learning the Word.
Reading your Bible and studying diligently. Right?
Here's something I seen the other day. I don't mean to get us off subject. There's a commercial. It said, Jesus told y'all to love the ones you hate, so Jesus hates you. That was a TV commercial. Yes. And... person that did that, they're not a Christian, obviously, because they ought to know that hate is a sin, and Jesus is perfect. He's never sinned. But there's people out there that will listen to that and believe it because they don't focus and they don't read God's Word and they don't know what God's Word is because they've never read it. They only go by what they hear. And so I would say one of the things is read Scripture. Read Scripture, focus on Christ, constant prayer.
What does it say also, study to show yourself approved?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ephesians 6:10-18, I won't read all of it, but the first few verses of it, it says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put your full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand."
I don't remember, I think it's in Peter, but the devil walks about like a lion seeking whom he may devour.
Yeah.
So.
I think you said it best. If you're not preparing to fail, you're...
If you fail to prepare.
Yeah, there you go.
You're preparing to fail.
Thank you.
So you got to be ready. Except we don't know... when Jesus is going to return. We know, like, when it says to work out your salvation through fear and trembling. What does it take? What happens? What's going on if you're in such a state that you're trembling? Pretty nervous?
Yeah.
Is it something serious that may very well be happening?
I would assume trembling would be.
Do you think these five virgins who weren't prepared, were they with fear and trembling?
Well, no, they didn't.
Nobody really cared.
No, I don't think they really thought about it. The ones that carried the oil, they had prepared for. It's kind of like leaving early for work or church service. You never know when you might have a flat tire.
Well, Jeremy, like some of these virgins try to get oil from others. So, can you do like extra good this week to make up for me?
No.
To work like that?
No, it doesn't.
No, there's nothing you can buy. No relics.
I can't borrow some
like
of
that.
Your faith and
no,
get me through
mean,
the week. I'm a little short this week, Chris.
I can help you with some verses and stuff.
I can pray that you find some oil.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like here, they had to leave to go get some oil, and guess what happened when they were gone?
They were late.
So they weren't ready. So that's the whole point of this parable.
And you never know when it's going to happen. You don't know when your last day
know.
Is going to be.
No, and that's what it says.
When it's coming. It's what a thief in the night.
All right. We don't know. We just got to be ready. And, you know, we were talking in one class couple weeks ago about we don't have a Christian red light. You know, like, okay, it's green, you're doing great. Or
yeah,
it's red, like, you need to work on your game. Or, you know, yellow, like, you know, you're still okay. We don't have that. We don't get quarterly evaluations from God.
No performance reviews.
Right, say, look, you know, you've been reading your Bible good, but, you know, you're still lacking. We don't have that. So, do we just hope that we're okay?
Well, I think we know, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you study,
you start drifting. I think we all.
I think that's the key to it. You've got to read what's in the Bible, and there's so many people out there who will claim to be Christians, lovers of God, but they don't know anything about the Bible. They can't tell you where anything is, and a lot of them will do that. Like, I'm going to do it right now, just for fun. I'm just going to flip the Bible open somewhere and point to a verse. Violence shall be no more heard in your land. So call your walls of salvation and your gates praise. Oh, that's my verse of the day.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, it doesn't work like that, but anyway.
No, and you don't have to be the person that, like, you're very good at knowing the, like, verse number and stuff. I don't
know that talent. I am. I got a few.
you seem to do well on that, but, I mean, you do have to, you need to know the Bible. I mean,
I think studying is another way that, you know, getting back to this parable, knowing the Bible, studying diligently, daily, that's going to help us be ready. You know, that's like putting oil in our lamps, you know.
Yeah, so. And I think the thing, I think you do know, I mean, this, the Bible is your performance review. You were saying it, or you said something about drifting away. We've talked about those stats before, like if you read your Bible at least four times a week, you automatically start, like, there's an, what were some of the stuff, like depression, all that other stuff goes down. You can tell, especially as you grow and you study the Bible, how your relationship with God is.
Can I say something?
No,
it's okay. No. Sorry, guys.
See,
it's kind of like a fire, right? If you start a fire and you just let it go, it's eventually going to burn out, right?
Yeah.
So you got to work at it. So you got to throw a log on that thing every once in a while. You know, you eventually, even if you might be burning red hot right now with passion for this and for God and Jesus, if you don't work at it, it's like a marriage. It's going to burn down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you got to keep working at it and try. And we all go through that. We can't all stay.
The fire of love?
Yeah, we can't all stay on fire constant.
So we're on fire with love. Are we a hunk of burning love?
Wow. Well, that was awesome. You walked right into that one.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes, I mean, to answer the question.
I agree with Jeremy, yeah. Well, okay. Let's use this as an opportunity to talk about attending church services. Have you guys ever, like, say, woke up in the morning at a campfire and you got two separate logs that are still smoldering, but they're separated? And they're just going to continue to smolder. But once you move them together and they're actually in contact, a flame comes from that.
Right.
Can you see how that applies to Christians being together? Because what happens when we come together with like-minded individuals with one purpose, and that's to worship God? We're edified, right?
Well, where does it say in the Bible that iron sharpens iron?
Yeah,
we're encouraged by being together. And for me, it's nice to look around and see, well, you know, the whole world is not just completely filled with narcissistic, self-serving individuals.
And that's a good point. Somebody actually brought up to me this week, they're like, it's like, oh, you Christians that go to church every Sunday, you just sit there trying to spread the word yourself. Yeah, we come to hear the word. We're not keeping it amongst ourselves. We don't come here just to hear the word too. We come here to be with like-minded people, that way to set our minds right again, on the right path again, and to focus, re-up. It's kind of like getting a B shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The week wears you down. You come back and get refreshed, and then you go back out. And then, yes, we just don't share it with each other. We want to walk out there and talk about Jesus with somebody else out there. But, yeah, it's just not about us preaching to each other. It's about us getting refreshed and back ready to go back out on the streets.
And you're typically on your best behavior when you're surrounded by.
Yeah, but right. Well, why do you recharge a battery? Make it stronger, more power.
Yeah. Power. Yeah.
Do you think our internal spiritual batteries, like a long week out around, you know, it's obvious. All you got to do is just get in your vehicle and go anywhere. The majority of people out there, I think they're all just, they're, how about I'll tone that back a little bit. A lot of people in the world today are only concerned about themselves. They have no use for God. That can wear you down every week.
Yeah,
I think we need to get together, you know, when we come together to worship, and that's Sunday morning, Sunday evenings, and Wednesday nights, to recharge our spiritual batteries. I think that's another way that we can continue to keep oil in our lamps.
I always feel better after these, that we have these podcasts. Well, this is that
kind
we
of
have.
Like it's, that together where we're talking about Christ, we're all like-minded.
So one of the things that got me thinking about this parable, I think every church has individuals like this, but there are some folks, seems like every single service, I mean, without fail, they're late. They come in either right at the, like say the service starts at 9 or 10 a.m. I mean, literally 9:59 and 30 seconds. They're, you know,
or 10:05.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, like the first or second song has started. And I'm like, okay, you can be late. We all have been, because there's things out of our control. Once is okay. You know, if you do it every single time, that to me becomes, that's purposeful.
Well, that's not late.
It's not an accident.
That's what time you start.
That's a habit. That is. All right, I'm guilty of this one, guys. We all know this.
We didn't start with you, Chris.
Oh, no, I know.
But what we were saying is like, okay, so what happens if we, say the service starts, and we go back there and we lock and shut the door, and say the latecomers, they can't get in. Would that change their behavior? Would they be like, you know, okay, I guess they're serious now. And I got to think about the bridegroom, you know, because like when the bridegroom came, he shut the door. Mm-hmm. And they got their oil later and like, hey, let us in. He's like, I don't know who you are. How do you put that? Lord, open us. But he said, truly I say to you, I do not know you. So that's kind of one of the things that led into this is being ready. And do you think getting to church on time is important part of like keeping oil that's in your lamps, being prepared?
Well, I think it's a symptom of the whole. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to take this, and I'm guilty of this, this is something I definitely have to work on. I live about 45 minutes away, so I'm usually late, but I got to start leaving earlier. But it is, I mean, it's a symptom of the whole. If it used to, you can say to yourself, like, okay, well, at least I'm going.
Have you thought about this? Like, these people who are doing this, are they doing that because... And I think in some situations it may be true that they're doing it because they don't want to participate. If they don't get there early, or at least, you know, be right before.
You think that
it's hard to ask them to lead a prayer.
Point. That's a good point.
It's going to impact their ability to provide service, to serve in the church.
So I go to a very small church, and if one of the men are late or miss, it's very hard because we already got.
Roles assigned.
Yes, we already got roles assigned, and sometimes you got to double them roles up because you never know who's coming, who ain't. Because if they're late, like I can't hope that they're here, and you know we can't be at the last minute, the last prayer of the day. The person's supposed to do it, they never showed up, so you got to double somebody up. And let me tell you something. Anybody that's ever been to church, it's hard doing a prayer. Try doing three of them in one day at the same hour. You start running out of stuff to say, and it gets hard. When I come in the mornings, I usually do the opening prayer for Bible study. And then sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I've been where I had to do opening prayer again for the Bible service.
And let's be honest.
It starts
like,
wearing on you. Not,
I appreciate you doing that, but I also, like, as a fellow worshiper, I don't want to hear the same guy pray every time.
Yes, because you run out of stuff to say. It's
the
hard
other thing
on
is like
everybody.
If you're not, I think if you're not attending, if you can't get there on time, you're not just letting yourself down. You're letting God down. And that just shows that that's not important to you. And what about this? Have you thought about this? It's disrespectful to your fellow Christians.
Mm-hmm.
When you come in late, you've disrupted the service. Like, okay, here's so-and-so. It's right on time for them. You know.
And Chris's defense,
I'm not even like talking about Chris.
And
I'm
talking
about my congregation.
I've been to churches before where Chris would look early with people where they would come in and the preacher was done preaching. The Lord's Supper's done been passed out. And I was thinking, why even bother coming in?
Yeah,
you done missed everything.
Yeah. And, like, I'm almost the kind, like, if I get there late, I'm almost, like, part of me doesn't even want to go in if it's already started.
I've done
it's
that
embarrassing
before.
To me to do that. But it makes me ask the question. If you can't, if you don't take church seriously enough, the worship of God.
That's a habit in myself I have to fix.
Is it a pastime? Is it, let me, okay, Chris.
No, it's a habit in myself that I wait till.
Is going to church, is it important, Chris? Or is it just an occasional thing, a hobby, a pastime?
No, it's like, you know, it's important.
It's a passing thought. Oh, I guess I'll show up.
This is one of the things, you know, when, and it, I always, like just like with here, when ever more, two or more gathered, I will be there. In my name, I will be there in God's presence here. So it's.
Well, my question too is God on Judgment Day, is he gonna wait for you, Chris?
No.
Sorry, I'm a little late, Lord. Yeah, I meant to do that. I thought about getting there on time, but wasn't it important? Well, you know, you may just say, look, I don't know you.
This is an intervention right now.
I had a softball game.
We bring that up, but literally, I'm not gonna name names here. I know of a congregation where a lady was suffering from late-stage terminal cancer, wanted to get her life right with God, and asked to be baptized. And a couple of the men that were asked refused. One was was umpiring a softball game. That was his reasoning why he couldn't help baptize this lady and save her soul. I think another individual had a doctor's appointment. Okay, whatever. But, it's a big deal. So the whole point, this whole parable here is be prepared, guys. Be prepared. Keep your lamps trimmed and ready because we don't know what hour the bridegroom's going to come.
And we've all got something to work on. And this is, but you have to be ready. You do have to be.
We got to say this too. Whatever it is that's standing between you and God, get rid of it. Put it away. Get it out of your life. If there's something that's keeping you from growing in your relationship, get rid of it.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, final thoughts, Jeremy?
No, that's a great statement. No, I agree with you, everything you just said there.
I think you're 100%
right. Well, I'm always
right.
It gets really frustrating a lot being right all the time.
But, you know what thing is? I thought I was wrong once, but I was only mistaken.
And I'm really proud of my humility.
Yeah, good job,
yeah, me
guys.
Too.
Pride
me too.
Is not an issue.
Maybe I should work on that.
No, I think it was Alvin, our preacher, that one time said that people will try to get it right up to the line of where that threshold, that thing that makes them tip over thing. They think they can get to it and control it.
Yeah.
But you can't even try to get close to the temptation or the line or whatever causes you to sin. So you got to be ready.
You think it's better to stay away from it?
100%.
What's the verse? Abstain from all. Oh, yeah. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Jeremy, is that right, King James? The one we like.
Yeah, but that's not to get me started on that. Second Thessalonians.
See,
Lord's work's never done. Is it getting rid of those KJVs?
I have nothing wrong with KJV. It's just that's not translated correctly.
Saturday, Jeremy's hosting a book burning.
I'm not.
He won't stop till the last one's gone.
People's going to believe you.
Well, anyway, good talk, guys. Anything else to add, Chris, Jeremy?
No, I'm good. Things are great.
Where can they find us, Jeremy?
Facebook, Spotify, under Cousins for Christ. Guys, we appreciate everybody that listens. Everybody that don't listen, we love y'all the same. If you can only listen every once in a while, we appreciate it more than you know. Thank y'all so much for everything y'all done for us. And just please would like and share. Find us on Apple Pod, Spotify, YouTube, and Facebook.
Awesome. Chris, would you direct our minds in a word of prayer as we close out this podcast?
Dear Father in Heaven, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us to come and study from your word and learn from one of the lessons that Jesus gave us in the Bible. Dear Father, we pray the things that we talked about today was in according with that lesson and would help bring people and make them ready for the time where you do come or they meet their end on this earth, that by the time they do, that they're ready and going to be saved and will have a relationship with you, dear Father. We pray, dear Father, as we go throughout this week, that you will go with us, guide, guard, and direct us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.